Marv had something that to share. I browbeated him. I said, share something. Oh, you just volunteered yourself.
Oh, hon, don't laugh. You'll be next. No, we were just talking on the way up here today, and everybody knows I work on a big farm, and we're in the middle of harvest now, and Rita says it takes you guys like forever to harvest. What's the deal? How long does it take you to plant? Me being told I'm a planter, well, planting is the easy part. Why we need the church to grow and we need more people is because it takes a tremendous amount of horsepower and manpower to harvest. In this past 10, 12 days, I don't know, we're chopping corn right now. We've put up close to 26,000 tons of feed in different places, which the pile at the farm that I work at is probably four times the size of this building. It's huge, and it takes six truck drivers, a chopper driver, four people on the tractor or on the pile, and other miscellaneous people running around making sure everything works and taking fuel where it needs to be. And it's a tremendous undertaking. In the spring of the year when I plant, it's like three to four people is all it takes to plant the seeds. So as a church, we need people to do the harvest. Each and every one of us has a part in the harvest. I can be a planter, but I am also a harvester. I'm a key part in the harvest also. So just be encouraged that we're all out there and we can all be part of the harvest and make this place grow.
Good. Now, do you have something to share? All right, hot seat. Come on.
So I guess what's been on my heart lately is, you know, we started with COVID and we've progressed into riots and everything else. And, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't matter what's going on around us. We have Jesus Christ. We have the peace of Jesus Christ. We have the love of Jesus Christ. We have the gospel. We can thrive. We can grow. We can mature in this time. You know, let's continue. And you've heard me say it before, but stop focusing on what's going on around you and start and put your eyes up. Start focusing on what the Spirit has to say, what the Spirit wants you to do. Take this time to grow. Because just because the world's falling apart doesn't mean we have to. We have promises, we have blessings that we can continue to stand on no matter how we feel. Throw emotions out of it. We don't live by emotions, we live by the Word of God. So let's continue this process of growing and putting the Word in us and let's not look like the world. Let's smile. Let's be happy. Let's know. Let's let them see what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like.
Thank you. Did a good job for me putting my hot seat, didn't he? It's the mark of a minister right there. You know, these two guys being in my church is an honor for me to be able to have them part of what we're doing and to be able to minister the word. You know, praise God for the gifts that are on them, and we appreciate that. I appreciate it. You know, they're Thank you. Thanks for putting up with me. Oh, God is good. I've been here since 2013, pastoring. And I took over this church in a situation that wasn't ideal. There was some things going on that weren't strictly in order. There wasn't out-and-out sin or error, but things were kind of headed in the wrong direction. And the people that were here felt like it was time for them to depart, and I had to take over the church. And I went from having a church of 42 to 12 in the matter of 3 months, maybe 15. You know, that's hard to deal with. That's hard to look at. You know, you come into this new situation. I had never pastored before. I didn't really know a lot of what I was getting myself into. I mean, I did and I didn't. You're never really sure when you start a new thing, and ministry is a thing on its own. I came in, and the only thing I could do is, God, what do I do next? God, what do I do next? What is it that I need to do? And there was a period of time, about 2 years, I think, just about every week, I got together with Pastor John. And that was the only thing that kept me going from week to week. Because I'm like, I don't know how I can keep this thing going. I don't know how I'm going to continue to do this. Because, one, I didn't know what I was doing. I was trying to figure it out as I go. Oh, and I was working a full-time job at the time. And in my job, I was learning something brand new while I'm learning something brand new. I mean, that's overwhelming. And it's just week from week, it's just like, I'm not sure if I can keep doing this. I don't know. I don't know how long I'm going to keep doing this. And I remember Pastor John said to me in the beginning, he said, you know what? If there's any point, no is an acceptable answer. I'm done is an acceptable answer. You know, if you're done, then you're done. We'll deal with it. And, you know, I kept doing it. I kept staying with it because, you know what? God had asked me to do it and I didn't want to fail. I didn't want to stop. I wanted to succeed. So I kept at it. And I only constantly asked myself, God, do I need to be done? Do we need to shut the doors? And the answer was never no. It wasn't, we're done. Just keep going. You can do this. I'm going. And then there was a point at which I didn't need that constant reassurance. I had gotten to the point where I was confident enough in what God had called me to do that I could make it. I could make it maybe 2 weeks without talking to Pastor John. I think I've gotten to the point I can make it 3 weeks. But then, you know, in the process, then we added on RVFM and all that entails. So I took over the church. You know, the only thing that I know to do was preach the word. You preach the word. You live your life according to God. You do what you know to do. You know, you do what is right. And you just walk it out. It's like, that's the way all of us need to be. It's like, whatever our life situation is, we just do the word. What did God say to do? Then we do that. Well, one, we walk in love. That's number one. We always walk in love. We look at the world around us and we wonder, what in the world is going on? They're not walking in love. They're not walking in compassion and kindness towards one another. They're walking out what they know. We know better. Be careful of not entering into the things of the world and becoming like the world. Because we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And in walking this out with the church for the first several years, I continued to pray. I continued to press into God. God, what are we doing? And I always felt like I was fighting to gain a foothold, a beachhead, kind of like Normandy. You know, here they are trying to get onto the beach in Normandy, and they've got constant opposition, shooting, you know, trying to take them down, and they're coming from a position where they don't have the best advantage. They're coming in on from the water onto the beach. They're entrenched on the beach. And I always felt like this is a beachhead. We're trying to take the beach. We're trying to take this piece of land so that we have something to step off from, to have a place of safety where we can bring in more troops, where we can bring in more supplies, more what's needed, to bring in the support elements. And we fought and fought and fought and fought, and we're here. We're still here. And we've grown. And I think it was about a year and a half ago, there was a moment when I had had a vision and I saw falling out of the sky a stone and it slammed into the ground. When that happened, I know something. That we had the beachhead. And that it's time to build. Because that's the cornerstone. That's the cornerstone. The cornerstone has been established. The cornerstone is Jesus. And we're building off of that cornerstone, according to his design and his plan. You know, and I like what Marv was saying about the harvest. Brilliant. You know, I'm not a farmer. I'm not very good at growing things. My gardens were always full of weeds. But yeah, it is easy to plant. It's really easy to plant. You put the seed in the ground, you know, you till up the ground, you get it ready, you put the seed in it, and you walk away. And you let it do what it's supposed to do. But the harvest, you got to go get it. You got to collect it. You got to search through and find the fruit of the earth. There are scriptures that talk about the good farmer. He goes and plants good seed. The next day, you know, or that night, the enemy comes along and sows tares. And when it begins to grow, the servants say, "Didn't you sow good seed?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I did. The enemy's come and sown tares." He said, "Well, what should we do? Should we tear out the tares?" And he says, No. Lest we destroy the good with the bad. Let them grow together. And guess what happens during the time of harvest? He said, pull the tares out, throw them in the fire. Cut them down. And then gather the crops and put them in the barn. But it takes time and effort to do that. It takes time and effort to go through that weeding process. And when we look at it, the harvest as far as the kingdom goes and as far as the church goes and bringing people into the church, you know, you take a person who's just newly got born again. They don't know anything about the kingdom. They don't understand what it means to endure when the enemy comes. They don't know what to do when the enemy tries to kill, steal, and destroy. How do you resist him? How do you follow the word? What is the word? What does the word say? How do I walk this out? They don't know anything. And that's where we need everyone. It's discipleship. It's like, I can only disciple so many. I can preach the word, and I can teach the word, and I can tell you things. But discipleship is more than that. Discipleship is relational. It's relational. Because a disciple asks questions. In this format, I can't be answering questions all the time. It's not beneficial. But somebody can ask you questions after service. Well, what did he mean when he said that? This is how discipleship works. And everybody in the body needs to participate in order to grow people up so that we all make it. We all go forward. We all grow in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit. You'll have to bear with me. We're the church is established. We're moving forward. And we have, you know, our church, this church, the Lighthouse, has its own place, part to play in what God wants to do. There's the ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry that is given for your edification, to grow you up, to help to mature you, to keep us in unity, right? You have the gifts of the Spirit, which every single one of us have. Every one of us, without exception. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gifts, you are a candidate for the gifts. It says the Holy Spirit gives the gift as He wills and He desires, and He'll use you. But it says that God gives us activities. He gives us things to do. God does. So you have all three parts of God functioning. What is it that we're supposed to do? Yes. But sometimes God gives us something to do. What is that? I don't entirely know yet. I do know some things. We're supposed to be a light and a witness. What does that mean? It means that you have an obligation to walk out your faith wherever you're at. All churches do that. But it's a little bit more of a focus for our church. We're here in this area to shine our light in the communities that we come from. And to let people know that there is a God who loves them and cares about them. There's a God who can meet their needs. There's a God who has the answer to their problem of their situation. And that we're here to help them. I'm gonna begin to ask God, what does He want us to do? And then I'll let you know. But we also have another part of this. We're part of RVFM, River Valley Fellowship of Ministries. And that is a doing. It's something that God has specifically placed on Pastor John's heart, my heart, Vern's heart, to plant churches in the River Valley. To fulfill this vision, I'm going to read the vision. You're going to hear it again. It's time. It's time to refresh this. In 1948, two prophetic words were given by two individuals who did not know or had never heard of each other. The first was given in Spooner, Wisconsin by a missionary from an independent mission group 6 months later. The second was given in Luck, Wisconsin by Assemblies of God missionary. One couple who heard both prophecies said that they were almost word for word as they were given. The prophecy basically stated that before Jesus comes, a revival would start in the headwaters of the St. Croix River and continue southward down the entire river. They stated that the effects of this revival would reach 100 miles in each direction, each side of the river, until Jesus comes. They also stated that in His path, several cities would be won entirely over to the Lord. Every person in that city saved, along with salvations of thousands, would also be the miraculous in the areas of finances, healing, and deliverance of all kinds, and a return of an entire area to biblical living once again, right up until Jesus comes. Yes. Yes, and amen. Yes, and amen. This is what God wants for every area of the world, not just here. But this is something that we're, you know, for those of you that may not know the story behind it, Pastor John had been in Stillwater at the Capitol for a prayer time, and he was praying, and he prayed along these lines, and this lady came up to him and said, "Oh, this is, it's great that you're praying out the prophecy." He goes, "What prophecy?" She goes, "The prophecy of the River Valley. You were praying it out." Exactly. And he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." She says, "I'll bring it." And this is what she brought him. He was already praying this out. This was already in his heart. And this was a confirmation to him that this is what God wants to do. Let everything be established by the word of two or three. That's three individuals who had the same thing in their heart that this is what God wants to do. Yes, the Lord wants every person saved in the city. There will be some that won't. But it says here there will be some cities that will completely turn themselves over to God. That's going to be awesome. How do you disciple an entire city? Harvesting. Harvesting. You know, how do we help people believe for miracles in finances, in health, in family? How are we going to help them? You know, sometimes families are the hardest thing to see miracles in because there's other people involved. There's people who are listening to things that are not the Spirit of God, and you have to deal with that. You know, they listen to demonic voices. They're listening to the hurts and pains of the past. And they're going to need people to encourage them and help them to overcome these things. This is where we fall. This is where we come in. You know, God didn't get us saved so that we can just lay back and say, "Bring it on, God, I'm just going to lay here. Let the sun shine." He wants us to be part of His kingdom. He wants us to be part of what He's wanting to do. The great thing is He's not asking us to do it on our own. Which is good, because you know, I think all of us can probably say at times, "I have no idea what I'm doing here. I literally no idea. Help. Help." The Holy Spirit's right there. The Holy Spirit's right there to help you. This is where the gifts of the Spirit come in. The ones that each and every single one of you are candidates for. Where the power of God will rise up on the inside of you and speak into that situation, or give you the strength to endure in that situation, or empower you to do what is virtually impossible to do. I'm thinking walking on water is impossible to do, yet Jesus did it. Feeding 5,000 people with some bread and a few loaves of bread and a few fish, that's a miracle. I mean, they didn't chop up into little tiny pieces and say, "Here you go." It wasn't the smallest sushi ever. It said that everyone ate till they were full. You don't get full on sushi. Not that I would know. I just always see sushi. It's like these little bites. I'm like, how's that a meal? Mashed potatoes, steak, you know. That's a meal. Just throw some broccoli on there, maybe a side salad. You'll make it a little healthy. Totally lost my place. God is good. We're in a time, though, of chaos within the world. I think it's pretty obvious. We need to stay together. We need to encourage one another and not forsake the gathering together of one another, as is the manner of some. And on the Bible, and it says, even more as the day approaches. What day? The day of the Lord's return. Why? Because it says that before the Lord's return, there will be a falling away. I don't want to be part of the falling away. I don't want to walk away from God. I don't want to give up on Him. But there's a concerted effort to continually cause us to walk away. You know, we have these things right here. And they can pump information at us moment by moment by moment, nonstop. And it's not going to, not necessarily. It can be good. It can be good. But it can also be detrimental to us. And we need to choose to do what's going to be edifying. We need to encourage one another. Not worry about the world. This morning I was kind of going through some of my old sermons. I felt led to kind of go through it. And I pulled this out. It's from December 2015, so 5 years ago. And it was a word that I had had. I'll read you what it says. And I was praying and asking the Lord for a word for the church, and the Lord said to me, if I tell you, you'll have to give whatever it is. And I said, Lord, I understand. And he said, defeat. I thought, great. This is what's written. I thought, great. That'll be well received. Then the Lord said to me, all is not lost. There is still blessing. All is not lost. There is still blessing. I was thinking through what he had said to me and its implication, and the Lord spoke to me again. I have not called you to win, but to overcome. I have not called you to win, but to overcome. God hasn't called us to be winners in world's lottery. He's not called us to win in political battles. He's not called us to win in arguments and debates. He's not called us to be victorious in our debates. He's called us to be overcomers. He's called us to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's called us to be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, not winners, overcomers. Winners, they win the battle. They won the argument. They win the situation. Overcomers gain eternal life. Overcomers gain eternal blessing. Overcomers earn the favor of God. He's called us to be overcomers. It's not about winning the arguments. It really isn't. It's about overcoming. It's about doing what is right. It's continuing to stand and do what's right, say what's right, and be what's right, even when everyone else around is telling you, you're a fool. That's when we say, no, I'm going to follow God. Well, you're an idiot if you do that. So what? I'm going to be an overcomer. Well, you're not going to make it very far in this world. You're not going to be very successful. You know, if you don't do this thing, if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to buy and sell anymore. You're not going to be able to participate in the economic systems of the world because you're just too strange. But we're overcomers. We're overcomers. We can do it. We can overcome. Revelation, it talks about to all the churches, he said, he who overcomes. He who overcomes. And after that statement, there was always a blessing associated when he spoke to the churches. He said, if you overcome, then you will. And these blessings are magnificent. Go read it. It's awesome. We need to be overcomers. We can get caught up in the idea that we must win to be blessed and successful. That to be a Christian, we need to and walk in the kingdom of God is to win everything, but it's not true. As followers of Christ, we have been given the power and the ability to overcome in every situation, regardless of its outcome. We have the power and we have the ability to be overcomers, regardless of what happens. You're overcomers. You're overcomers. You can do it. Well, I don't know. Yes, you can. Well, how can you be so certain? Because I know the Holy Spirit is in you, empowering you to be an overcomer. You have to believe it. You have to grab a hold of it, and you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him. Because it's by faith. It's by faith that we are saved. It's by faith that we overcome. It's by faith that we are healed. It's by faith that we are redeemed. It's by faith that we enter into our relationship with God. Because we can't enter into that relationship if we don't believe that He was willing to die on the cross for us. To make us acceptable in His sight. He loves us with an everlasting love. He cares us with a love that is beyond our understanding. It's beyond our ability. It's beyond our comprehension. To know the height, the depth, the breadth of His love. It's... You know, what is it? What are the deep mysteries of God? People always want, I just want the deep things of God. You can't get any deeper than God's love. You want to know the deep things of God? It's love. His love for you. That's the mystery. That's the thing that is beyond anything. I've heard some of your stories. I know where some of you came from. I know what you've endured in your life. I know, you know, what I've gone through. I know where I've come from. God is so good. He's so faithful. You kids that are they're being brought up in godly households, you are so blessed. You are so blessed. You're going to be able to avoid things that the rest of us went through. You are blessed. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these young kids. I thank you for our children. Lord, I pray revelation for the parents so that we can teach them who you are. That we can show them the love that you have. That we can impart revelation and understanding to them. That they can walk all of their days without having go through the things that we went through. That they would know you from the beginning of their lives till the end. Not walking away, not wandering, but staying true to you. Because they've seen the love worked out in people's lives. Because they've heard the testimony of us. And they know the goodness of who you are. Lord, I pray for open hearts. I pray that you would always keep them on the path of salvation. That you would put people in their way as they grow up to keep them on that path. To keep them from being deceived. Lord, keep us from being deceived. Keep us all from listening to the lies of the devil. That when we hear it, we know it. That there is no doubt, we know exactly what the devil's up to. Lord, we want to hearken diligently to your voice to hear what it is that you have to say so that we can walk victorious. You are so good, Lord. Lord, I don't know if we're ready or not. But we ask for the harvest. We ask that you would begin to bring in a harvest. We'll do the best that we can. We'll gather, we'll prune, we'll talk, we'll encourage the people. Bring in the harvest, Lord. Give us opportunities to share the love of God with those around us. Give us opportunities to reveal who you are to those around us. So that they can be saved. So that the name of Jesus gets glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.